Praise God forevermore. James chapter 1, we're looking at receiving from God. We started up last week, Wednesday, and Psalm 119, verse 130, I believe, says, the entrance of his word giveth what? Light, and then giveth understanding to the simple. The simple there means the meek, the one who comes with readiness to receive. That means the person has arguments, the person has experiences that seem to contradict what is being taught and what's being presented to him or her. But it's called the simple for a reason. It's because of his ability to believe. It's because of that person's capacity to be persuaded with the light that comes from God's word. So a lot of times you're going to hear what you've had before, but you will never hear the same way. Because God's word is new every day. Our perception is new every day. And then as those facts come together, a strong case is built in our consciousness that enables us to walk more in the grace of God. Say, God is more faithful than any man that I know. You know, when Jesus was walking there, they will say that, if you there been evil, and he was talking to fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more with your heavenly father. That's, you want the best for your children. It's your heavenly father who doesn't fluctuate, who doesn't alter between opinions, who never changes his mind. This is how much more. So the heavenly father, the comparison is that he whose ways are beyond the limitations of men is the heavenly father. That's Luke chapter 11, read from verse 9 downwards. So you say, he whose ways are beyond the ways of men, whose ways are beyond the limitations of the earth, how much more will he give the Holy Ghost to those who ask him? So it says, if you then being evil, so he's speaking about men in contrast to God. That is, compared to God, only God can be called good. And yet, natural man always seeks the best for his own children. Always seeks the best for his own children. Always. You know, something happened in early hours. I was up by past one or so in this morning. And my daughter I was having a cough. She couldn't really sleep where I was having a cough. So she had an infection and cough and stuff like that. And I went in, went out to for the room, went to go and do one or two things there. So after like an hour or so after, I was still busy doing one or two things in the room, studying. And I just heard her coughing again. And I wondered, why didn't I do something about it the first time? So I just went while she was still asleep, coughing in and out. I just laid hands and spoke. And the cough stopped still morning. Now, it could have happened before. It just didn't occur to me to do something about it. Why didn't I think that if I laid hands, it wouldn't work? It never crossed my mind that it wouldn't work. I just wanted to minister something. But who gave me what to minister? The Father. Whose ways are beyond the ways of men? Who is more interested in our well-being than I can ever be? Hallelujah. And that is the view with which we ought to look at God when we approach God's word. Because the plan of fatherhood didn't proceed from us. It came from him of his own will. Never forget such scriptures. Of his own will. So it's not a side attraction. It's not an afterthought. It's not something that, okay, I see their condition. I see their terrible state. No. Of his own will begat he us with the word of reality. And it says that word of reality is to this intent that we should be a kind of first fruits of his word, creatures. That means you and I should be a demonstration of God's faithfulness, God's goodness, the riches of his mercy and of his grace. So James chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. So Apostle James is laying down New Testament doctrine. Okay? So he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, we'll say it this way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men. So, what do you think is consistent with what God gives to all men? It can't be a car. It can't be a house. It can't be a wife or a husband. What do you think is consistent with what God makes available for all men? It has to be saving grace. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So, salvation, which is God's greatest gift, is available for all men. It is for whosoever shall call. Whosoever shall call. So, we see God introduced to us as Father at salvation as somebody who gives. And when he gives without discrimination. You know, let me say it again. No matter how much you wish some people would die for their sins, it's not the will of God. You will not like it, I know. I know you have a list. And you are thinking that, okay, it's okay, let him get it, but let him suffer small. A part of you is agreeing, it's okay. Jesus loves everybody, but can he just suffer a bit? I don't want to mention names, but then, if I mention names, like to echo in this local assembly. That a part of you is thinking, if you were sitting with Jesus, he would just be laughing. Well, he knows exactly how you are feeling. We are thinking that, and it's not your saving grace, so you're not the one that died. But even in administering, you are still thinking, can we modify concerning this fellow? Let him just suffer. Okay, let him taste fire small. Then he cannot come back. Because he's just too evil. He's too wicked. Well, the God that gives to all the attention is salvation. If he gives, and when he says he gives, and he says, whosoever shall call, and the calling is even a gift. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, from verse 10. For with the heart man pleads unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, notice, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let me explain what that means. Those who put their trust in him will not fail to receive the benefit of that trust. They won't be ashamed. What is that trust about? Let's read on. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. So there's no difference between those who are under the law and those who are not. I hope you understand what Jew and Greek means. So those who are under the law and those who are not under the law. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, or answers with the same liberality to all that call upon him. So there's only one call. There's only one Lord. And there's only one gift. Now, notice. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Paul now gives us the epignosis of what that call is about. Because that call cannot be Jesus. There are people that call Jesus everywhere. Have you seen that in a car that's about to have accident, there are no atheists? You've not noticed before. There's no unbeliever in a car that's about to have accident, though. Everybody in the name of Jesus. I've not been an accident that anybody says they call Muhammad. No. Everybody calls Jesus when that means something must tell them that name works. Everybody is a Christian when bad things are about to happen. But see what it says. Look at verse 7. How then shall they call on him whom they've not what believe? How shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without what? Preacher. Look at verse 17. So then, faith or that believing which will make a man to come will come by hearing, and what that person must hear must be the logos of Christ. So then faith or the believing that guarantees the call must come by the logos or by God's faithfulness as demonstrated in Christ Jesus. So what a man hears is, before you knew to call, God has been faithful by giving you something to call for. God has preempted. God has gone ahead of you. Side by side with the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, or when you pray, don't use vain repetitions, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And Jesus was moving towards the area of salvation. He knoweth what things you have need of. So the heavenly Father, who is like unlike any other earthly father, in his capacity as the heavenly Father, has provided ahead of your need what you have need of before you pray. So your prayer doesn't bring provision. Your prayer makes provision already given available. It's a complete renewal of the mind when it comes to working with God. I've often asked this question. How many of you did this when you got first got saved? You stopped the rain. Let me see that. You prayed and stopped praying. You first got saved. You were in that euphoria of, I just, power was shocking you. Anything, ask God. How many of you? Did you notice there was instant answers to your prayers? Okay, so you were like, okay, God is giving me a welcome party. You know, years ago, I was in a convention, 1995. And this wonderful man of God, he gave an altar call. When people got saved, he said, we are telling you, oh, that was knowledge, that was the level of knowledge he had that time. Said, we're telling you that God will bless you, God will help you, God will do everything. He said, we just use that one to bring you to Christ too. Welcome to suffering. Now, according to the level of knowledge he had, what he really wanted to say was that there are still some tough challenges, there are issues, there are persecutions, but you shouldn't have said welcome to suffering. Because the person that just came in is like, can I still run back? That was their understanding. Because they assumed that the challenges they were facing were orchestrated by God. And I have a question. If God orchestrates the challenges I'm facing, why should I ask him to deliver me from himself? There's a problem with that equation. God wants to train you with suffering. I know the people who I know who went to, they died under the suffering. They didn't receive the training. They were dead already. There was no training to receive. If the training killed them, and if training is meant to perfect you and make you fit for service, then if they are useless to service, they have escaped the body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They became present quickly. When we need roll call here, they will really find them. On the roll call. That can't be God. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So go back to James chapter 1. Are you getting in that? So then faith come by hearing, and that hearing. So the hearing itself is the gift. Is a gift. Before you go to James again, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. Let's see that faithfulness. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, or how full of wealth God's grace really is. Now, what kind of wealth? Spiritual wealth. God's grace really is. In his kindness towards us through what he did in Jesus Christ Jesus. Look at the next verse. By grace are you saved, or of his own will begat he us. That is the same thing. By grace are you saved, or of his own will begat he us. So Paul's language, by grace are you saved. James' language, of his own will begat he us. Hallelujah. Can you see they're saying the same thing? So see what it says. By grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. So the question, from what we saw in Romans, how is that faith the gift of God? How is that faith the gift of God? Because it came by what you heard. So if you didn't hear anything, faith won't come. So the faith you have is based on God's faithfulness. You heard about God's faithfulness. Now, God's faithfulness in the Holy Scriptures was a promise. God's faithfulness in the epistles is yes and amen. It's done. They're not the same. God's faithfulness was a promise in the Holy Scriptures. God's faithfulness today is yes and amen. So you heard about God's faithfulness, you had something to believe. You could believe it has been done. That's how you heard. So that is not even just, it is a gift of God. Hallelujah. That's what it is. It's a gift of God, not of yourself. So that is the pattern the apostles presented to the church for every single believer to understand and to grow. So go back to James now. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. Who is any of you, brethren? He's talking to brethren. Read from verse 1, he's talking to brethren. So any of you here is talking to who? Brethren. Now it says, understand the one that you are dealing with. He gives salvation, which is the best gift that heaven has. He gives to all men. And when he gives, you don't get saved in a half measure. You don't get saved until the next thing you commit. He saves you to the uttermost. Once you are enlisted, once you are enrolled, the saving grace of God just continues. In fact, from the day you are saved, we can say, it is God that now worketh in you. And the worketh is present tense continuous. He keeps working from the time he got saved. So it doesn't give you, there's no half-baked salvation. It doesn't have that kind. It doesn't have China that kind. It doesn't have Taiwan made. It's original. Hallelujah. It's original. So it says, you are nothing ask of God that gives to all men liberally and does not find fault. So men came to God with the understanding, why won't he question you about your sins? Because he doesn't find fault. How did you receive salvation, greatest gift? Because God doesn't find fault. How did you get saved? God in Christ reconciled you to himself, not imputing your sins. James says he doesn't find fault. That's how you came. So he gives all men liberally and upbraids none, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how? In faith. So the wavering is always on the side of the person receiving. Wavering has to do not with asking, it has to do with receiving. The wavering is on the receiving part, which is, what is God's disposition? An open hand. God gives an open hand, not a closed hand, an open hand. But then when it comes to receiving, men waver. So obviously, receiving or wavering has a lot to do with the posture you keep up spiritually when it's time for you to lay hold of the answers. In fact, let me show you something. Look at next. It says, let him ask if he not waver, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and toss. For let not a man think he shall what? Receive. Now, receive there is not passive, it's active. It's the word lambano. So, let not a man think he will seize, he will lay hold, he will take from. So, notice he is wavering. Has God given? Yes. Why does God give? He doesn't find fault. So, God doesn't have any reason in his heart why you shouldn't receive. He gives with an open hand. So the challenge now is this. You, when it comes to receiving, receiving is not done passively, it's done actively. So wavering will now hinder you from actively taking hold of what you're meant to take hold of. Hallelujah. Let me give an illustration in the natural. Let me use a spiritual illustration. On Sunday, Pastor T exhorted us and told us to minister to people that are around us, isn't it? Okay, so as usual, somebody did not get up. Their mouth was closed. They didn't go to anybody. Now, the honored who that got up, guess what? They were born by the same father. Number two, they had the same spirit. Number three, the same utterance. Number four, the same grace. So, some of them got up because they ceased, or they lambanoed, or they received, and they went to go and give. The others did not lambano anything. Now, if you are watching everybody, we are all seated. We all heard the same message. The message did not give us the utterance. The message was to steer our consciousness about the presence of the utterance, which is everywhere you are. But then when you come together, edification is in you for others, not even for yourself. Now, so those who got up, the lambano, they took. Not that God gave. God gave his past tense. You take his present tense continuous. So some took and went to go and deliver or minister to somebody. Pardon my English. Some did not took. But that is looking at me. If you mark my script, I will fail English. So some refused to took. Why took it to you? It's very wrong. Now, what you were meant to take was present. The teaching of the word made you aware of the presence of what you were meant to take. Some got up, took, and went like that. So imagine people now saying, oh, that sister didn't give because God didn't give. Blasphemy. You only take after the fact. You can only take what is given. When the word was communicated, you were reminded of what God has always given, which is, there will never be a thing where God will say, Mr. Nim, don't get up because I don't feel like identifying anybody today. Even myself, I need edification. You know, that's not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you were given that instruction, I sit at the back, so I watch. I was happy for. You don't know that every step of obedience you take, you are growing. You are getting encouraged. Because the person you are going to edify is not the one that you will edify by the fact that the person was edified. So it's a mutual two-way education. But you are going to do something. Let another man think he shall receive. So if you waver, so there were people who sat down for different reasons, but most of them were just wavering. And because they were wavering, they couldn't receive and go and deliver. They couldn't receive. They've been saying the same thing. It's for some people. Well, your media and people that are spiritual like that. You are not spiritual. You don't have the same spirit. You have the same spirit. They didn't take. They didn't receive. So let him ask if nothing will be for either wavers, like we will receive. And James used an illustration consistent with what Apostle Paul used in Ephesians chapter 4. When he uses the word wave of the sea, he's using a natural illustration to explain scripture 2, where he says, driven and tossed with the wind. Wind there always speaks about doctrine, a different kind of teaching, a teaching that is different from God gives liberally, a teaching that tells you, God will scrutinize, God will see if you are holy enough, God will see whether you are properly sanctified. Are you working sanctification, sister? Are you operating the second work of grace? You know, they received another teaching that convinced them that they were not holy enough to be used of God. And the Bible says God gives liberally, and he gives to all, and he gives without finding what? Fault. So they are finding fault, they are wavering, they are not able to take hold what is already present. The responsibility upon God's part is to give. Your part is to live because it's spiritual in nature. So you are meant to take hold of what God has given. And now God will not find fault. Look at Acts chapter 17 that was on last week. Quickly. Acts 17. Acts 17. Let me read from verse 15 quickly. And then our conductor Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, he departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, when he saw the city only given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers, notice, of the Epicureans, philosophers are those who are interested in knowledge, all kinds of knowledge. They are interested in all kinds of knowledge except knowledge of God. Then certain of the philosophers of Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? That the mocking statement. Other some, he seemed to be a setter forth of what? Strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and what? The resurrection. So it's a setter forth of strange gods. Now we're about to see why they came to that conclusion. Why did they say whatever Paul was saying was a message about strange gods? Look at the next verse. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching, that's what doctrine, which we of thou speaketh is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we will know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spend their time in nothing else. Not strange. You know, that's very strange. Nothing else. No other work. Except to gather and to discuss all kinds of knowledge. Okay. So that means there's a spirit involved. If everybody is doing the same thing like that, there is a spirit at what we are doing. There's a spirit responsible for that kind of persuasion. So this is what it says. Nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now, look at verse 22 now. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom you therefore ignorantly worship, in declare I unto you. So can someone worship God ignorantly? Yes. What is the solution to the ignorance? Declaration of the personality, the character of that God. That's the solution to the ignorance. And we saw last week in Matthew chapter 15 that doctrine is worship. Or the foundation of worship is what? Doctrine. In other words, you cannot worship beyond the doctrine that you have. You cannot. You cannot be a priest worship leader and be effective in leading people in praise and worship without sound doctrine. And that's why we have people who are gifted but who sing nonsense. Because they are gifted, and instead of their gift finding expression through sound doctrine, it finds expression through religious persuasions and what they hear of men. They want to chant the praise of God, and they bring in the name of local deities. The same chants we use for local deities, they start attributing those things to God. And they start to use physical elements to describe the God of devils and earth. How vast the sky is, how big the rivers are, the great calabash that shakes in the heavens. God, my father, calabash, my own father. Not an insult. When God became man, did he resemble calabash for you, right? They just tried to mystify. What has been demystified? The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has declared him. Stay with his declaration. Don't add your own. The only one who truly knows him beyond Moses did has come to make him known. Stay with what he said about it is his Father. He knows his Father. You don't know his Father. Stop talking about how long his hands are. Stop talking about he has long legs. All those kind of things that are not humanistic way of defining that God did not want to be defined by. Then for a long time, once people hear that the heart is full too, they say it's in it. His leg must be very, very big. Kind of way of thinking. Because they don't know what the word full stool means spiritually. Full stool is not a stool that you sit on. It's a vigorous speech. Everything is vigorous speech. See, his hands are so wide, you can take all the. It's an illustration. It simply means there's space in his heart for all men. It doesn't mean that when you look at his hand, and just does like this. No. Illustration. Now, to the unknown God, they don't know his character, they don't know his nature, so whatever kind of worship they involve in must be ignorant worship or vain worship or to worship without attaining the aim of worship. And that was, you are worshiping, but the person you are trying to worship is not receiving the worship because you don't know him. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 4? You worship, you know not who. We know we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, that true worshippers shall worship the Father. So those who worship God are not as Father, they're not true worshippers. Or they are true worshippers, they are worshipping ignorantly or in vain. Again, there are many gatherings today where they worship God, and they are Christians, and the last name they will call God is Father. But they call me every other thing except Father. And without acknowledging Fatherhood, you are not yet worshiping God. But that's who he is. And that's what he has brought to pass in his son. So it's not a small matter. Him whom you ignorantly worship, decline I unto you. Now notice there were many other gods in that place. So it was necessary for there to be a distinction between this God and other beings that these people call gods. Remember, they were philosophers. So there was a reason why each particular idol or altar was representing a different kind of God. So they were ready to hear something new, but whatever they were about to hear was so different from whatever they ever had before. So, though him whom you ignorantly worship. Now, look at the way Paul came in. They are not Jews. So Paul can start with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are not Jews. He wants to preach the gospel. So he's going to use their own terminology to reach them. That's what he's going to do. And he's about to preach the gospel. Now look at what Paul said. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Notice, neither is worshipped with men's hands. That is, you can't make a figurine or an idol or an image and say, this is our God. You cannot. He made heaven and earth. That means everything you can see and you cannot see, he made it. So it's not possible for you to use your hands to mold something and call it God. So he's even appealing to their logic now. And that's the interesting thing. When men become religious, they lose their senses. They stop thinking straight. They cannot reason logically again. I told you last week, you went into the woods, you cut down a tree, you made it into a shape, you tried some things. The tree that was okay when you were cutting it, the tree that had no shape when you were sculpting it, when you finished sculpting, you paused something, you now spoke, this is the God that delivered us. The one you just cut down. You know, it's madness. This is the God that delivered us, the God of our forefathers. Which forefather? You just cut the tree down now. It's not up to 1 week. And it's the God that brought you out. Can you see how people lose their senses? See what? Look at what Paul said. Nina is worshipped by men's hands as though he needed anything. Oh, God. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath to and all things. He needed anything as though. So the God I'm presenting to you does not need anything from you. Rather, he gives everything. That is why it was called a set forth of strange gods. Why? This is strange. Because every other god they worship collected something. This one does not need anything. He doesn't do trade or barter. He is good because he's good. He gives because he's a giver. He doesn't take, he's not a taker. He needed not anything means he doesn't take. He's always giving. So he's really the unknown God, unknown in their consciousness, unknown in their persuasion, unknown based on their philosophy or their teaching, that there's a God who gives everything and doesn't collect anything. Do you notice this was part of the challenge that the Jews also have? Because they were used to bringing sacrifices without understanding that under the law, because they refused to believe the promise of God to their forefathers, if they had believed those promises, they would have listened to the I will, I will of God. When they ignore their will of God, it now became, you will, thou shalt. That's what happens when you ignore their will of God. What did Abraham hear? I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Abraham didn't ask for it. God introduced himself. I will be your personal righteousness and your defense. No condemnation can stick. Even when you are condemned, don't worry, it will stick. I will be your exceeding great reward. When you check your spiritual account for believing, I'll be the payment. You will have me, all of me. It's not Abraham that asks, it is God that gives. There's a difference. Hallelujah. So we see Paul is introducing who this God is. He gives to all life. So now that means including those who worship and those who won't worship him, is one who gave all life. Why is a giver? That's who he is. Galatians chapter 3. Again, we revisit some of these things because we have to speak to ourselves and persuade ourselves in light of God's word and not rest on experiences that are not consistent with the God. Say, my father is a giver. My father gives whatever I ask of him. He has given me his very best. He gave me son. I didn't ask for the son. He gave me son. In his resurrection, I now have life. If I have the son, there's no good thing that the father can ever withhold for me. I have protection. I have preservation. I have abundance. I have favor. Doors are open before me. Things are working out for my good. I have angelic assistance because I have the son. Hallelujah. That's the truth. That's the reality of what God has done. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Like I said last week, you know, foolish is even from foolish. Oh, foolish is intensity. Emphasis on the foolishness. But that's what is written there. So, as in, your foolishness in the class by itself. So it says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been what? Evidently set forth, crucified among you. So we said that word apographo means to be written ahead of time with respect to what he would do, which he has now done. Evidently set forth means for you to see. It was written ahead of time concerning him for you to see, so that now that you have seen, you can believe. So the gospel Paul preached then said, I spoke to you about what was written ahead of time in order for you to see today, and by seeing so you can what? Believe. Now, what I expect of you is that what you saw when you heard the gospel is what you are meant to keep seeing. What did you see? It was evidently set forth and crucified. It is not of your own will, but his own will. He begat you. You were meant to, you saw that, you believed. You are meant to keep seeing that. It's still of his own will. It is according to his good pleasure, not your good pleasure. Okay. Put your hand there, look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. When we put scriptures together, it's for the purpose of persuasion. Verse 25. This is part of what was evidently set forth. It was evidently written ahead of time. Look at God's testimony. Is that for emphasis? Okay. Even I am he that what? Blots out thy transgressions. For whose sake? For whose sake? For whose sake? Why did God forgive you? Why did God forgive you? Now you are forgiven. Who are you? Are you a child of God? So for the sake of the Father forgave you to make you a son. For his own sake. Again, you know, sometimes you have to walk around the room. He forgave me for his sake. Yes, I'm forgiving for his sake. You have to. I'm telling you, because some of you are not persuaded. Which is the reason why any small thing you do, you disqualify. You mark your own script. Pow! F9. If I pray any prayer now, heaven can answer. The heaven that's already in you. How will that heaven refuse to answer when the heaven is in you? Nah. It's beyond your actions. I am me that blotted out for my own sake. And will not what? Remember your sins. So go back to Galatians now. Why Paul was speaking this way, Galatians. And when we speak this way, people think that we're encouraging people to sin. If you listen to God's word, the word of God is very well, it will discourage you from sinning. You'll be so full of goodness, you don't see why you should misbehave. To misbehave will become like an irritation. You feel like this is just beneath me. This is cheap. Like I told people, you know, I don't have anything against cannabis or shisha or cocaine. Just that it's inferior material. I don't see why you take inferior when I have a dinner. I have the Holy Ghost, I'll be taking something like that. If you get high once on the Holy Ghost, you know that cigarette is nonsense. Cocaine, that cheap thing that destroys your life gradually, tobacco that destroys your lungs, cannabis that you are seeing visions of what does not exist, and you do Holy Ghost and you are seeing of things that are reality. No. We introduce you to the real thing so you can drop the fake. Somebody introduced those fake ones. We now introduce you to the real thing so your eye cannot be clear. This one, you are high. Hey. Heavenly sharks. You'll be seeing visions of good things to come. All trance will be flowing like water. No. When I have this one, I will not be touching spirits inside a bottle. The one I have bottle can't contain. Let's leave that one. Say, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ and every blessed for crucified among the next verse. This only will I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by what? The works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So, how did you receive the Spirit? In contemporary language, how did you get saved? How did you receive God's saving grace? Is it by your qualification or because you heard of God's faithfulness? If that is how you began, is not how you are meant to continue. How did you receive the Spirit? How did you get saved? Was it through your own activities, through your own works, through your own conduct, or through the faithfulness of God's conduct in Christ Jesus? That's the question. That's it. Is this, are you so foolish? Haven't begun where? In the Spirit, or haven't begun in God's grace, God's willingness? That's where you began. Are you now made perfect now? By the flesh. That's what he's saying. So what is Paul laying foundation of? About the nature of God's giving. Every good gift. And every what? Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no neither shadow of thought. So every good gift, and that good gift which perfects the recipient, is from above. So you don't even have the right to perfect yourself. Just like you don't have the right to present yourself, he is the one that perfects you. He is the one that what presents you. That's the way it works. The gift he has given you was given to also what perfect you. So not that he gave you the gift and now waiting until it comes. I have to hold on to this gift. I must not lose this gift. No, the gift you were given was also given to also bring you toward perfection, or to perfect you, or to make of you experientially all that God has already wrought in you in Christ Jesus. So from the beginning to the end, it's all of God. That's how you receive. So let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask with understanding. God does not have any reason why I shouldn't receive. And God has channels, he has avenues. He doesn't just give directly, he also gives to men. Why? God is that interested in men receiving that he will send men to men to effect reception in certain cases. As we're looking at receiving from God, no, first of all, on God's part, he has no reason why he shouldn't receive. None whatsoever. You must first settle that in your mind. So again, it is a misnomer for you to take your focus off what has been evidently said before you and presented, and take it back to your own conduct or to your own works. Every single time you want to pray or you want to have anything with your Father, you must not take your focus away. It must constantly be in what you have received. Hallelujah. So haven't begun where? In the Spirit. Haven't begun in the grace of God. Haven't begun in God's willingness. Do you now think you can continue in the energy of the flesh? That's what he's saying. Praise God. Now, look at what Paul wrote to Timothy, for instance. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because again, let not a man think he shall receive anything. He didn't say, let not a man think God shall give him anything. Let not a man think he shall receive anything. So it's not that, he didn't say, let not a man think that God shall give him anything. It is the man must receive. It's not God giving. God doesn't have any problem giving. We see it every day. I've not heard of a single crusade when men called upon the name of the Lord that they were not saved. God just said, I'm not giving anybody salvation today. Go and get your PVC. Before you can be saved. It has never happened before. By the way, the crusade. And they call. And Peter said, "Brethren, I'm sorry. God said we should wait till weekend." It has never happened before. No preacher has to consult God whether he wants to save men. He will not have any man perish. So that means God's hand to save is always stretched forth. If saving is the greatest that God has, why should there be anything you need from your father and your father will not give? Think about it. So don't equate not receiving to God, not giving. That's what I'm trying to say. Find out why you have not received, but don't equate to God who has not given. They're not the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Notice, there is a gift in a man, and the man is neglecting the gift. So a man can have a gift. The gift is of God. The gift is a spiritual faculty, and the man is not walking the gift, and it's because the man has neglected it. Now, somebody else comes on the scene and tells the man who is not functioning in that gift that the gift is in you, yet the man is not working it. So, not working the gift would have told that man, "I don't have the gift." So, it took somebody else who is aware of the presence of that gift to tell the man, "That gift is in you." But the man is not working it, obviously. Otherwise, they will say, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Notice, how was it given? Which was given thee by what? Prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbyterite. That's the elders of the church. So, there was obviously a day which Timothy received what you call an ordination into the things that God has asked him to do in the body. Now, when it was done, Paul was present when it was done. Paul, among other ministers, was present. Paul is reminding Timothy, when hands were laid, impartation was received. In that impartation, utterance was spoken. In that utterance, the gift was outlined. Hallelujah. Let's say that again. When hands were laid, impartation was released. Something was stirred up. Faculties were awakened. Within the faculty, utterance was spoken. Within the utterance, the gift that is now resident was outlined. You are not walking that gift. Now, that you are not walking that gift, you are now thinking that the gift is not present, or that God has not given the gift. So, your experiences will be like somebody who does not have the gift, even though the gift is still there. It is spiritual in nature. So, there are things that God has given, things that belong to you, things that is no longer in the hand of God, that you are meant to receive by understanding. Hallelujah. And sometimes when we're having Holy Ghost meetings, I've been able to minister to some of us, sometimes to impart, sometimes to awaken, sometimes to remind. I point to some people, I go and whisper to them, "This and this has been operational since you are not working it. You are not working, it simply means God is trying to call your attention, you are not working." And sometimes, for some, it is already active but not in fullness. And by laying hands, it finds full expression. So laying hands is one valid way of God giving and men receiving spiritual faculties. But this passage is an illustration of how God can give something. A man has been given, but the man has not received. Now, let me explain what I mean by receive. Again, receive here is something active, lambano, to lay hold of something already given. Now, not having laid hold, the man is walking as though he has not been given. So, in his experience, if he does not understand spiritual realities, he will say, "God has not given me word of knowledge. I'm waiting for God to give me." Let me tell you what he's saying in English. "I'm waiting for God to operate it." And what does Paul say? Neglect not. You are not paying attention. You are not receiving what God has given. In other words, when men laid hands on Timothy, who was laying hands on Timothy? God himself, through the hands of men. So God spoke through the mouths of men. God ministered through the hands of men. Timothy is no longer regarding the prophecy that was spoken as though God was speaking. That's where the problem is. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me show you something. Chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Notice what Paul is thanking God for at the church in Thessalonica. "Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of who?" Which you heard of who? of us. Who is us? Timotheus and Silvanus. You had the word. Now notice, this is why we are always thanking God. He says, when you receive the word of God, which you had of us, you receive not it not as the word of men, for as it is in truth, the word of God. So now when you receive this as God speaking directly to you, what happened? That same word which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Hallelujah. Who spoke? Paul and his companions. Who were they representing? God. Whose voice did they hear? Paul's voice. Who was really speaking? God was speaking. What affected reception? The way they received what was spoken. You didn't see it as men speaking. You saw it as God speaking. Therefore, it is now effectually working in all of you that believe or that receive it. Can you see that? So, say with me, God will often, most times, walk through men. I must learn not to despise men, because God will not use a donkey. He will use men. As I heard of somebody that God spoke to him to a dog, it's a bad testimony. He's not just dull, he's dense. Because what's God's preferred method? Men. Now, let me say this, by the way. Do you now understand why Satan always makes sure that you walk in offense? It is because God chooses men in God's wisdom, and you, so that you will not receive what God is saying, will be made to despise the men that God will use. And God will not change his method because of you. He won't say, it's like he doesn't like Titus. Okay, Sister Philo? No. He won't say, when you get to the bus stop now, I just ask the conductor to speak to you. If conductor is speaking to you, you need help. You need help. You really need help. You need 7 prophets to pray for you for 7 hours and 7 days. Because you have gone far. You have gone very far. This is why Satan always initiates offense in relationships. You start seeing the people as men. When they are speaking on behalf of God, you start seeing that's the word of men. So what are you doing? You are despising. And when you do, the word cannot effectually work. But then that was you are not receiving. Yet it's God that's speaking. So I tell, walk away from offense. It's very important. Why was the word working effectually? They didn't receive it as word of men. Look at Acts chapter 10. I'm going to round up here. Praise God forevermore. We don't get to choose the avenues God chooses. We don't get to choose our peak. We just follow, we just align. Acts chapter 10 verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the 9th hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When they looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and come for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon the Tanner, whose house by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now go all the way to verse 30. Let me see if I can start from verse 30. Are you there? Yeah, so this is Cornelius. Peter is standing in front of him, and Cornelius is explaining to Peter what occasion is inviting him. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, so it was now 4 days, I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour, was the 9th hour of the day? 3 p.m. in the afternoon, okay? That's the Jewish 9th hour. Okay, so I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So that's another testimony about that. When angels appear, how do they usually appear? Okay. So why was Cornelius afraid? The brightness of the appearance. Notice he didn't say anything about wings. More often than not, if you appear, which means you will take off. Let's leave that one. So notice, a man stood before me. So he appeared like a man. That means there was no wings. Amen. 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 Okay. So most of the time, the ones that you're going to see who minister to men, they usually don't come with wings. So the one you saw in Ezekiel's vision, he hardly come to men. The ones that have 3 wings, have 4 wings. You don't need to see them. All right. and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy hands are heard in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call it as Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Notice, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here, present before who? Present before who? So who are they about to hear? Who are they about to hear? Who is present before them? Peter and certain brethren. Who are they about to listen to? God. Why they gather? God wants to speak to us. You need to understand the reverence that was there for that manifestation to occur. There was a reverence Cornelius and his household had for the messenger of God, which in this instance was Apostle Peter. There was a reverence that enabled reception. We all are gathered here in the presence of God. Notice what we are going to hear. We want to hear the things that are commanded thee of God. You know, if you are the apostle, you can't say that. I didn't receive any command, though. No, you can't say that at that time. You better receive command immediately. So, but you know Peter was playing with the Spirit because Peter opened his mouth. Our utterance came out. So who was that speaking? Peter. Who was speaking through Peter? God. So God used Peter. They received Peter as a messenger of God. What is God about to do? He wants to bless men through men. It is God that wants to give. How is he giving? The gospel will be preached by Peter. Peter will open his mouth. Men will receive that word as it is in truth, the word of God. There will be manifestation. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. It is the same principle all through the scriptures. God will often use men to minister the things you are meant to receive. So you are not to shoot the messenger. You are to receive the messenger and the message. You are to have the same reverence for the message as well as the messenger. Why? The messenger is speaking on the behalf of God. So rather for God to speak out of the clouds, he will speak through the lips of a man. Sometimes it's a man you are even familiar with. So you are the one that will have to work on the issue of familiarity. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, there was a familiarity between Elisha and Gehazi. You know, there was. There's familiarity now. You know somebody is a prophet and you're lying to him. That means you know. It's not every time that God is speaking to him. You know. That this boy is not always in spirit. You lied before. Where did you go? I was at the backyard. I was washing clothes. Where did he go? I went by the neighbor's place. No, I went to go and play bets. Apologies to those who play bets. So, he has tried before and was able to get away with it. Unfortunately, this time around, the man was in spirit. When he came back, your servant went nowhere. Huh? Went my heart not with thee? Problem. Well, as you were doing it, I was following you. In the spirit, I saw everything. This is not the time to collect gifts. So judgment came. Because at that time, Elisha was taken by the spirit. Elisha was seeing everything that was happening. Why? That man potentially at all times is the servant of God. That means God can speak to him anytime. Now, you don't go on that much sabbatical. Every single day you open your mouth, God can speak to you. And that's one of the reasons why we have to walk in love towards another so that we can always receive. Because again, let me say this often. Many times when God prompts you to speak to another, say, please don't spend too much time arguing about why what God is asking to say does not make sense to you. He didn't say minister to yourself. But he said minister to the person. 24 years ago, 25 years ago. Like, 25 years ago. I was in a meeting. And he's a more experienced minister than I am. I don't want to mention his name. We're in a meeting together. And I turned around and we're two of us. So one, the other person gave me a message in tongues. I gave interpretation. When I did give that interpretation, which did not make sense to me, when I gave the interpretation, the power of God came upon the minister we're ministering to. And I've never seen somebody run that fast in a short space. Run, hit the wall, run back, hit the wall against the wall, like three times. And I was rejoicing. I was dazed and I was just watching. So if I'm watching and I'm dazed, the person who is running, and he came back, I was like, that was super accurate. What was accurate did not make sense to me. I was still thinking, is this interpretation? Or your mind? What's your own? He is the one who prayed is one who believed God. There were key words he needed to hear to confirm God was speaking. And without knowing what he was believing of God, I spoke out those words by the Spirit. And that was what he needed to hear. Always keep in mind that because it doesn't make sense. You know, if you get too familiar with somebody, you know, start up, say, you know what you feel like saying? What goes again? You're like, she cannot lead scholarship. She cannot lead scholarship. Let me change it. What are you changing? Let me change it. Why don't you just say what you sense to say and start calculating based on what you know? She not that she's the most lively person. She cannot lead comfort. Because we are putting on a smiling face. You don't know that somebody just needs to hear just something that will make them know that the Father loves them. Don't rob men of the comfort of God. Don't rob men of what God wants to do in their lives when he has asked you to bless them. Don't try to rationalize yourself out of what you sense the Spirit of God wants. That's why sometimes if you need to close your eyes so you can focus, do so. That's why I do a lot of my ministration in tongues. I'm not looking at your face, I'm doing tongues. And whatever interpretation I sense that comes out, I will just give it. And I will still not look at your face. Sometimes I know exactly, I'm saying exactly what you need to hear. Sometimes I don't know. It's not for me to ask, does that make any sense to you? It's not for me to ask. At times I know by the Spirit as I'm seeing, God, I'm seeing what I'm saying. So I know what I'm about to tell you is fact. But at that time, I now need wisdom to say it to you in a way that whoever is around you or that's close to you will not understand except you. That's different. Praise God forevermore. So notice, that's how they received Peter. And the minute Peter opened his mouth, by chapter verse 44, you notice what happened. The Holy Ghost fell. Praise God forevermore. They received what God has always wanted them to receive because of the way they handled those who were meant to communicate the grace of God to them. All right, we'll continue next week. Praise God.